The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
That's right, you heard me. Part two of the Wicked Anime recording, where we are with Evan from the Boston Bass Brigade.
Hello, hello, hello.
The reason why this is part two is because you can find the first part of this conversation that we're going to be talking about over at his website.
Yes, on www.b3crew.com, on the most recent episode of No Borders, No Race.
Yeah, we joined him for the entire episode, so definitely take that a listen, especially because this recording is because we missed out on our podcast this week.
Yes, tell us why that happened.
Oh, that's easy, because Sean's computer crashed.
Yeah,
that's right, people. We had an episode with Sean on it, and now he doesn't get to be on it. The one guy who doesn't show up for recordings on a regular basis shows up by himself, and he ruins the whole thing. Thank you, Sean. Jerk. So this episode we're kind of like leeching off of
the last episode of No Borders, No Race, where we were talking about
Letter to Momo. Yeah. And as you guys might be able to tell, we are outside.
Yes.
So if you hear any ambient noise, maybe the birds chirping, maybe a natural ambulance in the wonderful cityscape of Boston.
Maybe a bickering couple behind us that won't.
They're gone. We just left the theater not too long ago. We went to the Landmark Theater in Kendall Square.
Yes.
In Cambridge, and it is amazing. I'd say that there were about 12 movies playing there, and about 90% of them were either a foreign film or they were indie.
And all the trailers for A Letter to Momo, like, almost all of them were documentary.
Documentary, yeah.
And they all looked awesome.
Yeah.
I want to see that one with the
Art and Craft.
That looked like a great one.
Art and Craft is a documentary about an art forger who sells famous paintings that he repaints and sells to different museums across America. And then the other side of it is
an investigator.
He puts the art in the museums. He buys art in the museums, and he's investigating him and trying to show him to be a fraud. That looks amazing. But we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about the movie A Letter to Momo.
A Letter to Momo.
Okay. So the first part of the conversation is over on Boston Bass Brigade at the No Borders, No Race podcast. So please go check that out if you're a Wicked Anime fan and just listening to this right now. To all the Boston Bass Brigade fans, welcome back.
Yes.
Yeah. So A Letter to Momo. Really, really good movie. I enjoyed it.
Yes.
It was good.
Yeah, I hadn't really seen too much from this director before. He hasn't done too much.
Other than Jinro.
Yeah, Hiroyuki Otome.
Yes.
Otome? Is that it?
Do I have to pull out my iPad again?
We'll put the name in the description of the episode.
Okay.
Apologies. I know his name is Hiroyuki.
We said it on the last episode.
Yeah.
So
haven't you been listening? Come on. And A Letter to Momo is a story about a girl who moves to an island with her mother after the death of her father. And the last thing that she has from her father is just a letter that says, "Dear Momo."
Momohe.
Yeah. It was a letter that was never finished. The reason being for the letter being written, we don't really know, but we do know that before his death, Momo had a fight with her father. And
yes.
And that was the last time that she had ever seen him. Now, in her time at this new place, there were some goblins that showed up. She found some interest in, like, the books that she found that her aunt gave to her.
Yeah, they're like ghost stories.
Yeah, and she found some really interest in them.
Yeah, like old classic yokai stories, which is really cool.
Which I thought that was really interesting. Do you think that they looked like that because she took an interest in them?
I kind of feel like that was like the first thing they found.
Yeah.
Because the guardians that are supposed to be watching over the family after the death of the father are being punished. And so they're sent down from the sky, supposedly from heaven, and they basically find their way into Momo's attic, and the first thing that they seem to go after are these the designs of the yokai.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you remember contact with Jodie Foster, when like the alien takes form of her father because it's like, oh, this is a form that you'll be comfortable with.
Yeah. Kind of like in the episode of South Park where it's a taco pooping out ice cream.
Yeah, I hate South Park. I have seen that episode, though. I have seen that episode.
I have not.
Because they make the point in the movie, it was like, oh, we had much better looking bodies back when we were had our superpowers.
Exactly.
And such.
Yeah. So there's a lot of demon lore or goblin lore and
yokai
and folk tales and everything like that.
I can almost guarantee that in the Japanese cut they say yokai.
Yeah. Yokai, absolutely.
I do too. But it was really interesting that they got into that. You know, like how they kind of got into the storytelling, like almost they were telling folk tales for a little bit. I really enjoyed that part because I like classic Japanese lore.
Yeah, like the kappa.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think was kind of reminiscent of what Dana Schneider, or the character that Dana Schneider
was. A little bit, but he was missing the shell in the back.
Yeah, right.
And the thing on his head.
Yeah, he had the bird's nest.
He had hair. Yeah, he had the bird's nest hair. No, but the dub, we saw the dub.
Yes.
Right? Okay, so the dub was really good. There were some parts of it that I was kind of shaky, like the boy who became Momo's friend.
Yeah.
It seemed like that kid didn't really have any experience with what was going on. But the interesting thing is the girl who played Momo, who hasn't really done much at all with
She has done other things, though.
She has done other things, but she hasn't done much. She was very good.
She was very, believable.
Yeah.
Very believable.
Stephanie Shea played the mother, which was pretty amazing.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
Rukia, right?
No, that's,
In Bleach.
Yeah, it's Michelle Roth.
That's Michelle Roth.
Orihime from Bleach.
Oh my God, the new Sailor Moon.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Is it
crazy that I did not recognize her in this movie?
Yeah, and also Mamimi from Fooly Cooly. Shout out to me. That was an interesting thing, because I thought that she was going to play Momo when I first heard about this movie, because I didn't look up at who played who. When I found out she was the mother, I was like, oh, this is interesting. This is the first time I've seen her as an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Stephanie,
I think that's what really surprised me.
She always plays an airheaded teen.
Yeah. And you get that in the voice that she plays, especially in like K-On, when she's like one of the girl band members and such. But this is like the first time I've seen Stephanie Shea do a role that was really serious.
Yeah, really at least mature.
Very mature.
Yeah, there we go. We got that twin speech going on there. And that's an interesting theme for the entire movie, was that it seemed like a very mature, like almost like it was supposed to be a family movie, but it was very mature. That's a good word for it. You know, you have to have like an intelligent, smart kid to watch the movie as a family film.
And if you want a comparison, it reminds me of the work of Sylvain Chomet, who did The Triplets of Belleville and The Illusionist.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Because
there
if you watch The Illusionist, which is a PG movie, it is a very mature film that barely uses any words to describe what's happening in this movie,
like all of his other movies,
right? Just about, but it's a very mature way of storytelling. But it's for kids. It's for just about all ages.
Yeah, interesting enough. I remember I was talking to Christine, who also joins us on Wicked Anime every once in a while, and she said that when I asked her to come see this movie, which she unfortunately did not, because she's sick. She said,
"Hope you're better by this, by the way."
Yeah, absolutely. She thought it was going to be a scary movie because
really,
and I told her no, it wasn't going to be. But I mean, like, it's interesting because I thought it was going to be a fun family movie, and she thought it was going to be a scary movie. It didn't turn out to be any of those things. It actually just turned out to be really, really sad.
No, it actually was it met my expectations.
Yeah,
that's what I thought the movie was going to be.
I just thought it was going to be a bit more family friendly. You know, like the scene where the big guy pushes Momo into the water.
Yeah,
I thought the movie was going to have that feel the entire time.
Yeah, me too.
That was wonderful.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that was so good.
That was wonderful.
Yeah.
I thought that was so great.
That was like the first push towards recovery for her.
Yeah. Exactly. And I thought that's what was going to happen. I thought that the yokai were going to help her get through her time, which they didn't really. You know, they were kind of like this hindrance.
We can't help you out. It goes against the goblin rules.
That is so very true. Because she wasn't supposed to see them in the first place.
Yeah.
So they were supposed to be an invisible kind of watching over to begin with. But the thing is, so the fact that she can see them made it so that, like, I mean, they were rude, they were jerks, and they never got anything right. They were clumsy. They were very much common no bang guy.
They were but I made the comparison in the No Borders Are Raised episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force because Dana Snyder plays Master Shake, plays one of the goblins.
Yeah,
and he's exactly how Master Shake would be.
It's a very good comparison. It really is. It is pretty amazing, though, because I thought they were going to be a little bit more friendly and a little bit more, but they weren't, which was really kind of a nice change, where they were just kind of like, they were jerks to her the whole time, and especially Dana Schneider's character, which is something you really expect from one of Dana Schneider, like a part Dana Schneider would play, where he's just a douche, and... And it's funny because it never really changes. Like, all the way up until the end, he's just like a dick. Like, you know. But it's kind of funny because even though he is like that, you can still kind of sense a change.
Yeah. You kind of almost feel like you understand where, like, a friendship comes from. Because here's another point that I wanted to bring up that we didn't talk about on the other one. The entirety of the movie seems like it's Momo going through the mourning process, you know?
Yes.
She just lost her father, and she's mourning the entire movie. And it's kind of like the movie is everything is symbolic for a step in the mourning process.
Right.
It affects everybody differently. You know, of course, people mourn in different ways, but the most common one is like, depression and sadness.
Yes.
You know,
regret, and then
anger,
denial, and then like acceptance,
confusion. There we go for Mame.
Yeah,
a little Mame demon there.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, yeah. Although he was kind of like, again, going back to Aqua Teen, he was kind of like the meat wad in the group. Like,
yeah.
Oh, that's right. I don't know how to read or write.
That was a good joke. He wasn't funny. He wasn't as funny as Meatwad, though.
Right.
So I will say that.
He was like going like, "Hey there, come on, little goblins. Like, come on, have some fun. There's Mr. Squirrel right there.
Who will bring the juice boxes?" And one of the things that. I mean, I don't know how much longer we can talk about this because of how much we talked about it on Boston...
No
Borders, No Race.
On Boston Master
On Grade. Boston Master Grade. But one of the things that I really, really, really loved is the animation. And why wouldn't I? I mean, I'm an animator myself.
We didn't really get too much into it.
That we said was it was very Satoshi Kon-like.
Oh, and then we have to talk about just how gorgeous the animation was. Even if you went to the movies, you're like, man, I hated that movie, which I didn't. The animation was just gorgeous, and I loved every sight. Like, the facial expressions.
Yes, the attention to details and all the backgrounds. And even the water looked great.
It really, truly reminded me why I love animation and why I wanted to do it in the first place.
It's such a beautiful craft.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, because it even was a feeling of something that Disney can't do for me. Because, like, I love Disney. I know people who work in Disney. I know that sounds a little name-droppy, but it's not. I'm not meaning it to be. You know, and they're really cool and really great at what they do, but it's kind of things like this, like the Ghost in the Shell style animation. That,
yes.
Because that's kind of what I do. I do like that gritty style, more
right.
less cartoony, more gritty when I animate.
Right, like your cyberpunk thing you're
working on. Yeah, exactly.
More dropping.
This is real people. I'm really doing these things, so I'm not just, we're not just like saying crap. So it's this kind of animation style that I love, where it feels real, and the people feel like they're existing.
almost. Yeah.
Yes. And that's what, you know what, that's what I like about anime in general, especially like the slice of life. Because these are characters that you can relate to because, oh, they're not magical fairies or princesses and princesses.
Well, yeah, because when you get slice of life, there's not much going on in slice of life. You gotta be honest, it's just like regular everyday stuff, and there's not much to focus on in that, so you focus on the realism of people. Well, yeah, and that's, it's kind of the way I describe watching Mad Men. Like, when I watch Mad Men, I love Mad Men. I love me some Mad Men. I love me some John Hamm. but you watch the show and you're like, why do I like this show? Like, why do I keep watching Mad Men? It was because you don't really, I mean, nothing happens and you're watching these people work. Like, you're watching these people go to work and have depressing lives. It's like, so why are you watching Mad Men? Oh, because it's so human.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's why I like the works of, like, Charlie Kaufman, films like Adaptation and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because those dive deep into the human nature, especially Schenectady, New York, with the late great Philip Seymour Hoffman. That's a film that I feel does a great job with showcasing just the human state of mind, especially with it going back and forth between with his daughter, and one moment will be like a little kid, but then in the next moment he'll be a full-grown adult because he still sees her as daddy's little girl.
Yeah. Another thing that I wanted to talk about was how one of the things that they go through in this movie is the fact that Momo and her mother don't really get along anymore. It's because of, you know, the death of the father. I mean, but they don't.
They're mourning very differently.
That's
perfect.
They're mourning differently, and they can't see eye to eye. So it causes tension in their relationship. And Momo doesn't think that her mom cares about it and anything like that.
It's because I feel like she needs to work to get her mind off of everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So she goes away a lot. So guys, we're probably not gonna go too much deeper into it because I really, really recommend that you go see this movie, which kind of goes into what we're going to talk about now, which is our final thoughts on the movie. My final thoughts on the movie are go see A Letter to Momo. The animation is so good.
Just be prepared to be really sad. I was sad.
Very sad. But the thing is, and I didn't really feel that same sadness. I just kind of enjoyed watching the experience and kind of taking a ride on the journey that Momo kind of went through.
Right.
So it's a very different experience for everybody who watches the movie, but I highly recommend you go see it. I loved it.
Yeah, me too.
Now, just to let people know, just from my personal experience of this movie, I enjoyed it. I recommend it to everybody. Just be prepared that there are a couple of, I would say, little dry areas, a little drawn out a little bit here and there, but that's because it's more showing of Momo going through the mourning process.
Nah, I don't agree with that.
You don't?
Nah. Okay, so it's a little slow for some people.
It is a little bit slow, but I still recommend it because I feel it is a great story that more people need to see.
If you guys are familiar with Japanese film, that's kind of natural. Like, Japanese film does kind of take those slow bits.
It does, but there are many other interesting ways they can do take those slow times.
Yeah. Alright, so yeah, definitely go see it. That's good final thought.
Okay.
Now, I know you guys were saying that you kind of needed your fix of a little bit of wicked anime, seeing that the last episode kind of crapped out on us, and we're very sorry for that, so we're kind of making it up with this. So we're going to talk about a little bit about what we're watching. We kind of tapped on it a little bit on No Borders, No Race, which is the part one of this conversation, as we mentioned before.
We talked about the summer season of anime, which we talked about a lot.
The summer season that was, because let's face it, that I can't remember the last time we've had as good of a summer season in anime.
Yeah. But I'm not watching. I did watch something else that was not included in the summer season, and that was One Piece. And I started on episode One
Piece
of One Piece.
One down, 787 more to go.
So it's really, really weird, guys, starting over on One Piece. Not even starting over, just starting, because I've never even seen One Piece up to this point. But the reason why I wanted to try to get into it was because of, the fact that it's the most popular anime in Japan. So I kind of wanted to be on board, you know? For some reason, I've come across this liking.
You could probably just go walking around Japan. I was like, hey, Luffy, yeah. Luffy, Nami's awesome. Yeah, yeah.
Well, because they have just,
they have stores devoted
just
to it.
Yeah, regular stores. Like, you go down the street and there's just a One Piece store. And
My friend Kristen, who goes by the name Nenya on Boss of Bash Brigade, she has reading glasses of the characters of One Piece.
Wow. So,
That's hardcore.
I figured, hey, I might as well give this a shot, because I don't have problems with shows like this. Like, I may not like Dragon Ball Z as much as everybody else does, but I do kind of like Bleach, so maybe I'll give, you know, One Piece a shot. So I did. I watched the first episode, and it was really weird, because it was like stepping back in time, because it's not even a 16:9 aspect ratio that you watch things
4:3
on the big boxy TV set.
Man, it's scary.
Yeah, 4:3 squares. It has that nice hand-drawn feel to it. Yeah.
Does it have the VHS lines running through it, too?
I wish. But it feels old, you know? And you can tell that it's hand-drawn cells, because it feels it feels organic.
A little gritty, dirty.
Which is really weird, because that means that One Piece has been running long enough, like even longer than Bleach, because Bleach started in the digital anime age.
Yes.
Yeah. So One Piece started before that we even had. So the show transitions into a digital anime phase, which is so
kind of like what happened with Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. So you're watching the episodes, and it's weird because even though I haven't seen One Piece, I know about the characters. I know where the characters are at now, how big they are, how important they are to the story. But episode one, the main two characters that it features are Nami and Luffy.
Yeah.
And they are nobodies, and it's weird. Because, Luffy's not even, doesn't even have the Straw Hat crew.
He doesn't even have a ship.
Yeah, he doesn't have a ship. He doesn't have anything.
He just had the gum gum fruit and then.
Yep. Not even. He was finding it in that episode. In episode one?
No, I thought he had swallowed. You see, I watched the very first episode of One Piece was episode one of Four Kids, where they probably edited the shit out of
it. Well, see, in episode one that I was watching, they find him floating in a barrel, like in the middle of the ocean. Like there's just a ship, and there's a barrel floating in the ocean. You don't know that Luffy's in it, but they pull him up overboard because they're like, "Oh, a barrel. There's probably treasure or something like that." And
we're pirates.
And so they store him away. They store him away in the storage, and he comes out, and they find the fruit. The fruit is on the ship. At least I think it was because I only watched half of it because I fell asleep. Not because it was boring, because I was tired.
That was my next question when you said that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I watched, can I do what I'm watching?
Yeah, I think I'm going to continue to watch One Piece when I have the time.
Cool. You see, how I feel about One Piece is how I feel about Fairy Tail.
Oh, okay.
Because how much I've drawn into Fairy Tail.
Okay. It's made by the same designer and stuff like that, so.
A little bit. It's I think it's the same animation studio.
Same studio, yeah. So I felt the designs of the characters familiar.
I was watching.
Great Master Guy is the one who designed it.
Yeah. For anybody who hasn't heard the B3 episode, which, why the heck not, I watched Eldnoah Zero. Thank you for all the fans out there who suggested Eldnoah Zero to us, because it is awesome. I love the characters in it. Like, after the first episode, it took me a while to get into the characters, but episodes like 2, 3, 4, characters are awesome. They're smart. There's a lot of strategy in it. I mean, in the first episode, the first episode drew me in. I was on board at the first episode. There was only like 10 seconds of mecha in it, and there wasn't even any fighting. And I'm going to keep watching it up until the end. I'm going to keep going with it. Thank you for everybody who suggested Eldnoah Zero. I'm on board. If you want my extended thoughts, go back to part one.
So, go ahead, Evan. What are you watching?
Well, I'm watching Girls Monthly Nozaki-ku. It's a bit of a slice of life thing. A girl falls in love with a guy, but he mistakes her love confession for, "Oh, you want to work with me with this manga I'm drawing? Okay."
That's such a guy thing to do.
It is such a guy thing. And it's just about, okay, here's how he's getting all these stories. Here's all the character ideas that he's coming up with for it. And it's just really funny, and it's very entertaining. Like, the very first episode is like, oh, how do they do the whole lovey-dovey thing of a guy and a girl riding on one bicycle? So it's like, oh, we can't do this because it's now illegal in Japan. So what did they decide to do? Oh, let's see how romantic it can feel riding a tandem bicycle. So it's like, you know, the two-people bicycle.
Yeah.
And it's just everybody watching the guy and the girl riding a tandem bicycle just going, what the hell are these two doing?
Nice.
But it's very entertaining, and I really recommend it.
It's in my queue.
Yeah, it's in my queue.
So I'm gonna watch that.
I'm probably gonna. Yeah, with your suggestion, I give it a shot.
And for another show, I still want people to really go back, go vintage with the original Astro Boy. Please, if you love Japanese animation as much as the three of us here, if you want to know how it really got started, watch it. It's on the Manga Entertainment app, which you can find either on like Xbox Live or on some Sony TVs has this manga app, and you can watch all 104 episodes that were dubbed in English.
Yeah. Wow, in black and white?
In black and white.
Sweet.
Does it cost money?
Nope, it is free. It is, and you know what's great too about it is just how relevant that show still is, because I don't know if a lot of people know this, but with Tezuka, his storytelling, there's a lot of symbolism of teaching people of love and accepting people for who they are and everything, and that comes up very strongly in Astro Boy, because with the back in the 60s, with everything going on with the civil rights thing, with the civil rights stuff, you can use that analogy with Astro Boy, with all the robots that are trying to find equality in the world that they're living in.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So if you guys want to join in the conversation, maybe you've seen A Letter to Momo. It's been out for a couple years now, so you may have gotten the chance to see it. If you haven't, I highly recommend finding it. It is coming out on DVD in a couple months.
Yeah, and if you need something, a little more basic overview of what we talked about, go to the No Borders, No Race episode.
Because you kind of have to in order to finish this conversation.
We were a little bit more broad in this episode. We bring it down to the main story elements, and you get a bigger sense of what's going on in the first episode. So go watch it.
We also give you a short breakdown of the summer anime. So go check that out.
Plus, you get some sweet tunes.
You can get some sweet tunes.
Great music. We have MC Frontalot. We got the Michelle Gunn Elephant. We've got Ogre, You Asshole, which some of you people who watch Space Dandy will be very familiar with.
Space Dandy's awesome. So, guys, thank you for joining us. We're very sorry that it is not a normal episode.
We're sorry that Sean's computer broke.
Sean.
He's fired, by the way. He's never coming back.
That's not true. We love Sean, and it was not his fault.
He will never work in this town again, brother.
Which
why did Hulk Hogan do the firing? I don't understand.
Well, actually, you're probably really right. He probably won't work in this town again, seeing that he lives in Gainesville, Florida, so he's okay with that. You know?
He'll never work in Gainesville, Florida again. Brother.
From home, brother.
Oh, yeah.
That was another. That was Brandon. Yeah, I know that was Brandon.
Snap to Slim Juice. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. So you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we have regular updates on all of our cool facts, little news stories, anything cool that we find around the internet, and definitely our videos on YouTube, which you can find us at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where you can find all of our important things that you need to know about Wicked Anime. Please subscribe. We are nearing 1,000 viewers.
That's when we're going to be famous.
No, hey, I was thinking that once we hit 1,000 viewers, that's when we share our 5-year plan with our fans.
Hey, that's a good idea. You want to hear what we have of our 5-year plan?
Step one, get money. Step two, step three, profit.
Yeah. All right, guys. And you can also find us on Twitter now. Tweet at us @YoWickedAnime, @YoWickedAnimeYo.
No second yo.
Yo. You can still find us at Tumbles, where we tumble things. And
tumbleweeds.
And of course,
they're tumbling like Naru gets thrown out of the house in the Barakamon. Do a barrel roll!
Of course, now you can find us at SoundCloud.com, which is now a partner with Nerdy Show, helping us with all of our free space.
Yeah, comment on our timeline so we can know exactly when you think we're jerks.
That's right. And of course, guys, find us at NerdyShow.com if you are not listening to this episode on NerdyShow.com/WickedAnime, where you can also find our videos. Or you can find us at iTunes,
where you can subscribe there so you get all the podcasts and please rate and review.
Rate and review.
That'd be cool. I think we have one.
Go ahead, Evan.
All right. So, as usual, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. That is where you can hear the first half of this conversation, by the way. So,
I think we
we've said that a thousand times.
Yes, I know. But I need people to know that. We need people to know that. So if you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band, want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, our Japanese 101 best friend, all the way over from the land of the rising sun, he can write to us at thebastards@bossofashbrigade.com. You can find me on Twitter at king_baby_duck and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on facebook.com/bossofashbrigade, and don't forget about the other shows under the Land of Ash, including Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues Program. We're going to be at the Boston Festival of Indie Games second Saturday of September at MIT at the Johnson Athletic Center. Please come. It's a lot of fun. Tickets are $10, but $7.50 for two or more.
Very cool. All right. So that's the end of this. We're not gonna, seeing that we're in public, we're not going to sign off the only way we know how. We are going to do it quietly, though.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Now I gotta go pee.
Yeah.
Seem to be upset that it's closed.
Yeah. That guy like just say, "There go my hopes and dreams."
Yeah, yeah, hopes and dreams. Guys, we're sitting out in front of a state park restaurant. We've had like 15 or so people walk up to the door to a "We're going on vacation" sign, so it's closed, and everybody's just like,
"But I won't enjoy yummies."
Actually, I don't even know what they.
It looks like just a pub style.
Because if it's vegetarian, then
we're sitting at their benches.
Wicked A! Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling friends, rating and reviewing on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating to the network. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images, and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. To find out how you and your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more episodes of the Wicked Anime Podcast, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes Store, and for the latest news, follow us on your favorite social networks. We're glad to be your home for authentic nerdy entertainment.